The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off. Racing.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Gary Capewell, John Budden and Gareth Topham in the studio. Three jumps meetings to look forward to on Friday afternoon with Sandown, Ayr and Leicester, and the usual Friday evening fair on the all-weather with Wolverhampton and Dundalk taking place on Friday evening. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to some of that action is Ben Bramley. How are you, Ben?
Hi, Mark. Good shape, thank you. It's one of the most unique days of the year, isn't it? It's that day where we look at those prefixes on the race card at Sandown and wonder what it all means. But, it's pretty competitive fair, isn't it, on Friday? And no doubt we'll see some unique riding styles, won't we?
Yes, because it's the Grand Military Gold Cup at Sandown on Friday. So we'll see some people in the military riding horses. And it's a good race. It's something different, isn't it, to look forward to?
Most definitely. We've seen some great finishes as well over the years. And I was kind of mocking there the somewhat pronounced styles. But, there's some pretty good pilots. And these guys deserve their day in the sun anyway on the racetrack, don't they? Most definitely, given that they're members of the armed forces. So, best of luck to them. And that 305, is a really good renewal of the Grand Military Gold Cup. It's a 0-130 event, but you've got three or four there that are right on the ceiling and are more accustomed to running in better class contests. You take Bradley, for example, who's often to be found plying his trade around Cheltenham, and of course you've got the Rev, Polisky, bit of a nearly horse that one, Solix. It's a good little race, isn't it?
It is a good race, and we'll find out in more detail what your thoughts are in just a while, Ben. But as this goes out on Friday, or Thursday evening to Friday, we will only be a matter of days, 4 days in fact, away from the Cheltenham Festival. And anybody who listened to Thursday's Racing Podcast will have heard Ben putting up a potentially rewarding, what did you call it, a life-changing Lucky 15?
Life-changing Lucky 15, yeah. It was 20,000 to 1 plus, wasn't it, for the four-horse Acker. And in the intervening 24 hours, none of the horses have become non-runners, so I guess that's a bonus. And I'm getting more and more sweet on Azza in the Fred Winter hurdle. I was doing some more research on that race last night. I think I gave some quite compelling stats as to why I thought it might run a big one, and the record of French breads in that race, which I don't think I touched on, was another factor. So Azza, if you didn't catch yesterday's broadcast, I'd be quite keen on that. But we're focusing on the features today, aren't we?
We are. We're going to go through the four championship races with 4 days to go, and obviously great renewals of some of these races this year, and we'll get stuck into them now. And the first race is, of course, on the Tuesday. It's the Champion Hurdle. Non-runner money back on all four of these races, by the way, so you can back your selection now, and if it doesn't run, you'll get your money back, which is nice. It takes the risk element out of the anti-post betting. And the Champion Hurdle is a particularly warm renewal this year, Ben.
Definitely. If I went over the 4 days for the feature races, Mark, I would say corker, moderate, absolute corker, not bad for the Gold Cup. I mean, all Gold Cups are good races, aren't they? But certainly the two to look forward to, for my money, would be the Champion Hurdle. Because throughout the course of the autumn and winter, we've been just waiting for these horses to fall by the wayside and for it to become less competitive. When you talk about great races in September, October time, you say, what a race it would be if they all lined up. Mm. Well, in this instance, it looks like they are all going to line up in the Champion Hurdle. And you've got the classic head-to-head, haven't you, Ireland versus England in the World Hurdle as well, with Big Bucks and Annie Power. But corking race, let's hope that my tent or yours in the first instance in the Champion Hurdle is fit enough and can overcome that foot injury, and we've got a brilliant racing prospect, haven't we?
Yes, and the good news about my tent or yours is that the Henderson camp are saying that he's 100% right after the injury scare, so that's good news if he goes there in one piece, because, like I say, Ben, it could have easily been one of those, if they'd have all turned up, it'd have been great. They are all turning up, pretty much, and there's four, five runners in this race that you could state a claim for perfectly easily. And we'll start with Hurricane Fly, the horse that's been there and done it before. He's twice a Champion Hurdle winner. He's 5-2 favourite, and despite his unbelievable success, he just doesn't win people over here, it seems. And everyone wants to take him on because they say he doesn't produce his best at Cheltenham, which is fair enough. On the numbers, he hasn't reproduced his Irish form over here. And in this year's renewal, he will have to prove his best.
And the intriguing thing about this horse, Mark, is that I've watched a lot of programming about this. I was watching Racing UK last night, and nobody can really explain why he hasn't been taken to the hearts of the UK racing public. I was watching Tom O'Ryan and Mark Howard last night, and they were pretty much the same as what we've discussed there. This horse has won 19 Grade 1s. He's come over to win two champion hurdles. You may remember the first time he won, there was this Monsieur stat about these horses don't win at Cheltenham. He smashed that one out the park. I guess your point is a valid one, just in so much as a defeat of Peddler's Cross in what would be 2011 and a defeat of Rock on Ruby and Countrywide Flame in 2013 probably won't cut it in this year. You know, you're talking about horses here that have the potential to be 175 horses, 180. You're thinking that one at the top of the market will make a breakthrough to that mark. That's what I'm thinking anyway. The new one, My Tent or Yours or Our Connor, could all be 175 horses, in which case Hurricane Fly on that rating would have to race to his absolute best to fend them off. And as a 10-year-old, you've got to have a nagging doubt as to whether he can do that. But what a horse, 19 Grade 1s. I'm quite disappointed in myself that I haven't taken it to my heart, this horse. Because if you think of the likes of Corto Star, everybody loves that horse. Everybody loves Denman. Everybody loves Sprinter Sacra, even though he hasn't achieved anywhere near the number of Grade 1s that this horse has. And if he becomes a three-time winner of the champion hurdle, you cannot fail to take this horse to your affection, can you?
No, particularly if he wins this one, because to win a champion hurdle, they say you have to be a 170-rated horse, somewhere near that. And like you said, there's perfectly feasible 175 future horses in this, so he will have to run up to that kind of grade. And it kind of be the fact where it'd be one of those scenarios where people have taken him on and people have been against him, and this time they would just, you wouldn't be able to take him on, you wouldn't be able to say anything against him. It'd just be a rubber stamp on how great he has been. He's been a great horse.
A rubber stamp is a great way of putting it. I think you've got pretenders in the shape of My Tent or Yours, 167, you've got the new one on the same mark, 167, Our Connor, 164. Rubber stamp is the right word, because he's never really disappointed, has he? What has he been in there? He's never been out the frame, has he?
No.
He's only been beaten three times in his career, am I right in saying? He's constantly silenced the doubters, this horse. And if you look at that sequence he's put together since that third, look, he's won his last, what's that now, 9 races. A phenomenal achievement. And, you know, people say that he keeps picking off these Irish Grade 1s, but the very fact is he's come over and picked off the very best Grade 1 in this country, the champion hurdle as well. So it's very, very difficult to decry his achievements. And he showed another admirable trait last year, the tenacity, because at the top of the hill I thought he was beaten. He wasn't travelling that well until he started coming down the hill and he was back on the snaff. He's just an exceptional racehorse, isn't he? Even last time out at Leopardstown, Our Connor jumped the last upsides. You'd have thought he was favourite in running, but Hurricane Fly, a furious rally there on the rail to see him off quite readily in the end. So he's not going to have his crown wrested away easily, that's fair to say.
Okay. Do you side with him though, Ben, or are you going to go for something to take the champion hurdle?
Well, I've said all that, and I don't think he's going to win, Mark. I've been proved wrong time and time again with this horse, and if I'm proved wrong again, so be it. But I'm a huge My Tent or Yours fan, I have to say. We all know that the Supreme was run in a time 4 seconds quicker than the champion hurdle last year. My view on My Tent or Yours, I expect him to beat the new one. I think he's got more tactical speed than that horse. I have a reservation about the new one, that in the Neptune last year, coming down the hill when Pont Alexandra kicked on, it just took him a while to get revved up until he started coming roaring around that corner and he looked the winner over the last. But that's over 2 miles five. Over 2 miles, I'm not convinced that the new one has that raw tactical speed, where I firmly believe that My Tent or Yours does. So we shall see. You know, he proved his well-being at Kempton, although he's had the injury scare since. I thought he showed great tenacity in beating the new one at Kempton. I thought that Supreme was a corking race last year. I know Champagne Fever won it, and people might say he'd never win a champion hurdle, but this is a good, good horse, My Tent or Yours. And if he gets there in one piece, I think he could be the one that rests the crown. I think you're with the new one, am I right in saying?
No, I'm not. I'm with Our Connor.
You're with Our Connor, right? Yeah. What's the thinking there?
The thinking is, when Our Connor won the Triumph last year, he was pretty prominent, and as soon as they came around the bend, he kicked, and there was no getting to him after that.
Yeah.
In his couple of runs this year, he's been slightly less aggressively ridden. I think in that race in Ireland last time, if he'd had just... When he, when, he came up besides Hurricane Fly at the last. If he'd just taken him on that little bit earlier and got Hurricane Fly out of the comfort zone just that little bit sooner,
yeah.
I think he'd have made, he'd have had Ruby Walsh worried, I think. And I think that there is that tendency just to give Ruby Walsh and Hurricane Fly that little bit too much respect in Ireland. I think if they actually take it by the scruff of the neck and, and go and attack him, our Connor could be right up there. And we know Desi Hughes will train them to the minute for Cheltenham. He's only had a couple of spins over hurdles this year. I think he's primed perfectly to go for this. And my only concern is that Brian Cooper isn't on board this year, and he rode the horse so brilliantly every time last year.
That's a great point.
If Danny Mullins just gets that Hurricane Fly a little bit earlier and puts real pressure on him, we know he doesn't really perform at Cheltenham, well, not to his absolute best.
Yeah, he might just find him out. Two champion hurdles, mate. I can't have that he doesn't perform at Cheltenham.
He doesn't,
perhaps not at his optimum, when we've outlined that these horses are stronger foes, aren't they? I do get your point about Desi Hughes. I mean, Hardy Eustace, of course, was going to line up in the Coral Cup off 11 stone before winning his first champion hurdle at 33-1. I'm just not convinced. I know he was so impressive, but that was on the stiffer course, on the new course, wasn't it, last year? He's on the old course, which is a bit sharper, and look at the horses that he beat. I know Diakali went on to win a couple of Group 1s, but Grade 1s, Far West, Samatigal, Diakali, Vasco de Ronsry, Rolling Star, they're not the kind of horses that were in behind in the Supreme, for example. But yeah, he's a great target trainer, Desi Hughes. That horse has had one race in mind all season, and this is it. So he's not going to want for anything, is he? So I can get your point of view. I just think that the juvenile of last year, our Connor, that was standout, against the novice of last year that was standout over 2 miles for me, My Tent or Yours. I just think My Tent or Yours is better, but both of our opinions are valid at this stage. One of us will be right, one will be wrong. We might both be wrong, because they might get both blown out of the water, but what a race.
Yeah, great race. Just with the My Tent or Yours as well, do you think his keenness is going to keep coming? I mean, they put Captain CB in the race for a decent run. I mean, it should be a championship pace anyway, but
yeah, Captain CB obviously won the 2008 Supreme Novices Hurdle, so he's a good horse in his own right, and did set the pace in the Irish Champion last time for Jeski. I thought it was interesting that the day after My Tent or Yours injury scare, that they still deployed a pacemaker in the race for Jeski and My Tent or Yours. So yeah, he's going to go a decent gallop out there, so there's going to be no excuses for anybody. But there are some people saying that Hurricane Fly, you can get at him with a fast pace. I'm not convinced that's been proven, in truth. While a horse like My Tent or Yours will need it to help him settle, I'm not sure there's any horse that can go fast enough to help him settle. He's a natural hard puller. You know, he wears the cross nose band, but he hasn't really settled down this season, has he, My Tent or Yours? It just adds a fascinating fabric, because there was a huge question mark. What would make the pace? People made the assumption it would be Jeski if Underscore didn't run. Now we know categorically it's going to be Captain CB, and there's going to be no excuses. It's going to be a good time. You're going to be thinking it's going to be early 350s, you know, around about that sort of time, and the best horse will win on the day. I wouldn't begrudge Hurricane Fly winning at all. I just think that horse will be My Tent or Yours, personally.
Okay, so a great renewal of the Champion Hurdle on Tuesday then. On Wednesday, it's the Queen Mother Champion Chase, and the superstar is missing from this lineup with no Sprinter Sacra, and that's left Saida Grugie, the 9-4 market leader. Captain Conan is 9-2. 5-1 for Avika Legionnaire. Beneficent is 7s. Bailey Green, 8-1. Kid Cassidy, 10s. And 12-1 or bigger prices, the rest. Saida Grugie is may well be the best of the 2 milers over here, without Sprinter Sakura in the lineup, but I still think he has question marks to answer, and I'm not particularly keen to back him at 9-4.
No, I think this is the one that the books will be after getting next week. You know, you look at his Cheltenham record as well. I know he was giving £10 to Kid Cassidy at the November meeting, but the point is, he didn't jump brilliantly that day. He just doesn't seem to be himself at Cheltenham, does he? That's a fact. He's not like Sprinter Sacra, where he's got a stone in hand on the field anyway, taking out that variable. He's a horse that's rated 169, so he's only a pound ahead of Alpha Off on the official ratings. He's only £5 ahead of Summersby. So he's not got oodles in hand, has he, Saida Grugie, by any means. I think this race is prime for a bit of an upset, and one that really appeals to me at a price is Grand Old Sizing Europe at the age of 12. Now, I mean, this horse has been a festival standing dish for years. You might remember the 2008 Champion Hurdle, in which he was beaten behind Catch It. Looked like the winner there, went off at 2-1 favourite. Something went wrong with him rounding the final bend when he was travelling well. But look at his Cheltenham record since then, Mark. You know, he won the Arkle Chase in scintillating style, beating Summersby. Jumped like a buck that day. He went on to win the Champion Chase, beating Big Zeb as well. He was second to Finian's Rainbow when they had to run around the last fence, and it's arguable whether he would have won that race. But the really key line for me is last year, I know he was walloped by Sprinter Sacra, but those two had the race to themselves from an absolute mile out, coming down the hill. They'd put 20 lengths between themselves and the pursuers, and he just stumbled, didn't he, just before the final bend, which cost him a number of lengths. I think he would have been beaten about 12 lengths by Sprinter Sacra that day. As it transpired, he was beaten 19. But you're talking about a 188 horse in the shape of Sprinter Sacra, so being walloped by him is no disrespect. We know he runs his absolute best races at Cheltenham. I still think he's great value at the kind of prices that he is now, even though he's upcoming 12 years old. I'm sure he's going to run a big race size in Europe.
Yeah, it was interesting when Sprinter Sacra came out that they then decided to enter sizing Europe in this. I get the feeling that they would have swerved it if Sprinter Sacra was still in the race. But
yeah, I'm not so sure about that, Mark, because I think some of the trainers, I think that would definitively make up their mind that they would then go for this race. But I would argue that because of the heart scare that he suffered at Kempton, that trainers might just have thought about taking the chance if the vibes were negative anyway.
Yeah.
And let's be right here, the vibes have been negative for Sprinter Sacra for a while, you know? So I'm not sure. I think this will have helped to make up the minds, and a number of trainers will have made up their minds on the back of this. The other Irish horse, Bailey Green, that you mentioned at 8-1, you know, second to Simon Sig in an Arkle, I'm pretty sure he would have gone Ryanair Chase but for Sprinter Sacra coming out. But it just opens the race up, doesn't it? I would argue that Sidey Grugy's probably got a harder race now than having to beat one horse in Sprinter Sacra and a load of horses that wouldn't turn up. He's now got a load of horses that fancy their chances of beating him, so his chance hasn't really improved much. And I think sizing Europe is a superb bet at the kind of price that he is now. What price is he?
14-1.
Corking bet each way. 12-year-old, that'll put a lot of people off, but this is a quality horse, a quality trainer, Henry de Bromhead. He's just a class act. I think he's going to be right in the mix. And similar to Hurricane Fly, he would get an incredible reception if Sizing Europe wins this race. Awesome.
Yeah. He's got a bit to make up on Beneficent from last time.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he wasn't at his best there last time out, Beneficent over Christmas at Leopardstown. But the thing with Sizing Europe is he wants good ground. You know, that's been run on soft ground at Leopardstown over Christmas. He front run there. I mean, he normally runs prominently. But his time is decent ground at Cheltenham in March. That is his game. Look at all his form here. You know, his last win was on good ground at Gowran Park, beating Bailey Green. He's had a couple of spins on yielding and soft. Look at his numbers on good ground. You know, he won a Grade 1. He's just a good horse on good ground. A top, top horse on good ground. I would say second only to Sprinter Sacra in the division for the last couple of years. And he's got his chance to shine yet again at the tender age of 12. Yeah. Good ground. I'm prepared to put a line through that Beneficent run, Mark. And that was helping to make the price 14-1, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And what a story it would be. It would be one of the Cheltenham Festival stories, wouldn't it? Should he regain the Queen Mother Champion Chase? Let's move on to Thursday then. And the big race on Thursday is the World Hurdle. It's one of the biggest races of the festival this year. And interesting at the top of the betting, because Annie Power is now the clear favourite. She's 15-8 market leader. Big Bucks is 9-4. It's 13-2 for At Fisher's Cross. And then 8-1 or bigger prices. The rest, I think you can rule out most of the others at big prices. But what do you make of Annie Power now being favourite, Ben?
Well, I kind of acknowledge that as a mare getting £7, she's got all the advantages here. I think people are very quick to write off Big Bucks, and I know he will have to produce a career best to win this in what's a really competitive field. But when you dig deep into Annie Power's form, I know she's an absolute beast, but last time she beat Doily Cart, Cockney Sparrow as well. Cockney Sparrow fell, of course. And then she's beaten Zarkander a couple of times, getting the mare's allowance. And again, I know she's readily dismissed that particular horse, but I think there are a number of doubts. You know, this horse has been priced up on potential at the moment. The fact that it's been talked up as the next big thing, the fact that it could have run in the Champion Hurdle, it's never run over 3 miles either. You know, I think there's still a little bit of a class question around it and a staying question, which tells me that those sort of prices, 15-8, did you say?
Yeah,
I think it's too short personally. What's your view?
Yeah, for a horse that's never run over 3 miles, for a mare that's never run over 3 miles, to be 15-8 market leader against the best staying hurdler of all time, I think it's bold if you want to take 15-8 about her. And I still think Big Bucks is the one to beat. I know he's knocking on in years now, and he's had a long time off the track. But 9-4 for a horse that's got his record around Cheltenham, and in the World Hurdle is ridiculous.
I would tend to agree. And the thing about that, Mark, is I think there will be oodles of pace on in this race. You know, Paul Nicholls himself has got four entries still, hasn't it? I think they will really stoke up the fire here. And Annie Powell will have to stay 3 miles absolutely conclusively to win this race. I know some people think the £7 is too much in terms of an allowance, but, you know, big bucks. And I know his last win in this race when he beat Vola Lavadette wasn't hugely impressive, but what has characterised Big Bucks' career and the fact that so many of his wins have been by relatively small margins is that he doesn't do that much under pressure. You know, he goes on all terrain. He's one of the gamest horses you'll ever find. I had no problem with the Sam Twiston Davis ride last time out. He was gunning him out there to find out what he still had left. And
yeah,
save for the last 100 yards, he had plenty left. And he jumped as exuberantly as he ever has. So I still think this horse has got everything in place to still run a big race. I know a lot of people think the market should be the other way around now. I don't agree with that. I think Big Bucks should be favourite over Annie Power. That's a very personal view.
No, I agree, and I think they were very very clever with his reappearance in the Cleve Hurdle, because they could have just cantered around at the back with him and then tried to quicken up, and they may have well won the race,
yeah,
and his unbeaten run would have remained intact. But
yeah,
to actually get him out there in front where he has to have a race out of it, has to blow the cobwebs away, if he then fades very quickly, you know he's in trouble for the World Hurdle. He didn't finish far away in third, and obviously Sam Twiston Davis riding for the first time. There's no way he'd have made that decision on his own to go out and gun out in front.
Absolutely not.
It would have been ridiculous for him to make that decision himself.
I did
see
that.
It was a plan all along to do that. And
I think Paul Nicholls got quite angry at a preview night that I was reading last night, because one of the audience members challenged the ride. And he was rightly annoyed with it, because he was riding to instruction.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horse that's been off the track for a while. They want to see, as an 11-year-old, what he's still got left. You know, if that horse had bombed out in the Cleve Hurdle, we probably wouldn't have seen him again.
Mm-hmm.
As it is, we know that he's got all his legs in one place, and he know that he's primed for this assignment here, which is the race that he's been readied for. So he's not going to have his crown wrested away. Or of course, he didn't lose his crown on the racetrack, did he? But he's the champion in name, in reality, isn't he? I know that Solwick won the race last year, but Big Bucks is the one that we associate with this race and being the champion staying hurdler. So if Annie Power manages to beat him, then, you know, she rightly deserves that accolade. But until she's done so, Big Bucks is the benchmark horse, and I think he'll take the world of beating personally.
Okay. What do you make of the Ruby Walsh factor here? Because Annie Power will obviously be ridden by Ruby Walsh. He knows all about Big Bucks. Could that play a part, do you think?
I guess it could, but I don't think it's going to be the Annie Power team that are really dictating the tactics in this race, Mark. You know, it's Paul Nicholls with the battalion, with the runners, and I think it's a benefit to Big Bucks that Annie Power is now seen to be the one to beat, you know.
Mm.
People are working out strategies to beat Annie Power, not Big Bucks anymore, because a lot of people think he is beatable, as has been proven by Nakara Bow beating him. So, no, I wouldn't be too worried. I think that's great for Paul Nicholls and his team that the limelight has moved away from his horse in truth.
Okay.
If you look beyond him, at Fisher's Cross, I know second in that race last time, but his first two performances of the season were abysmal. I was at Newbury when he jumped appallingly behind Celestial Halo, didn't jump any better at Ascot. And I know he's proven in winning the Albert Bartlett last year that he is effective over 3 miles at Cheltenham, and proved his well-being himself behind Nakara Bow last time. But I just think the top two have got quite a gap on the rest of the field, personally, and I would see it between them, and at the current prices, Big Bucks would be the bet for me.
Okay, Big Bucks then to regain his World Hurdle crown, and the big race on Friday is the Cheltenham Gold Cup, and Bobsworth is the 7-4 favourite. Sylvini Arco Conti 5-2. Last instalment 7-1. First Lieutenant is 12-1. 14-1 for Captain Chris. 16s for the Giant Bolster and Triolo Delenn, and then 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. Bob's worth for me here, Ben, but interesting to hear your thoughts with last instalment being allowed to run. The Fenton horse is cleared to run at the festival.
Yeah, I think it's highly doubtful that he is actually going to run, though, Mark. You know, they're talking quite categorically now that he does need soft ground in the description. You know, I know he's got good ground winning form in very good company, but given the problems that he's had with his legs, it doesn't look like they're prepared to risk him. So I wouldn't be in a rush to back 7-1 at this stage, that's for sure. It's difficult to quibble with Bobsworth as a horse, isn't he? I think he's 5-5 at Cheltenham. He's won at the last three festivals, is
yep.
that right? The Albert Bartlett, the RSA and the Gold Cup. A bit like Hurricane Fly, really. He's not really a horse that I've warmed to hugely. And again, you know, you're talking, what, 2-1 and 3-1, the two horses at the top of the market here. Sylvian Arco Conti.
7-4, 5-2.
7-4, 5-2. They're taking a huge chunk out of the market, aren't they? if you go back, you know, we're not talking about our, I don't think we are, exceptional champions, you know, the likes of Corto Star and Denman. And this was always a race for second season chasers. I just sense that there might be a bit of an upset in this race this year. And I'm looking at the RSA Chase from last year as my driver for thinking that. Boston Bob and Lord Windermere. As the race stands at the moment, I think they're both reasonable bets at big prices. There's a lot of conjecture as to whether Boston Bob would win that race last year when it fell two out, and Lord Windermere showed admirable tenacity up the straight, you know, in outstaying Lyrene Legend. I just think even though Lord Windermere's run pretty moderately this year, it's another horse that wants good ground, as is Boston Bob, whose Cheltenham record reads second to Brindisi Breeze when he didn't get the best ride from Ruby Walsh, and then that run last year in the RSA. I just think they're sporting bets at the price, but you think Bob's worth bomb-proof, do you?
Yeah, I think he is in the Gold Cup. I think he's a perfect Gold Cup horse, the way he travels through his race, and then you just know he's going to keep galloping up that hill relentlessly. And we saw it in the Gold Cup last year. He was mid-division, looked like he may have been struggling a little bit coming around the bend, and then he just plugged along and kept going.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. When he came around the home straight, he was out of camera shot almost, and as the angle changed coming into the straight, you could see that there was only one winner, because you had the top two firing away there, didn't you? And then he came into shot, and approaching two out, the way that he was gaining on them, there was only going to be one winner. I think you're absolutely right. He's a dour stayer, isn't he? But one thing, you know, it's got to be proven whether he's a multiple winner. It's not a race for multiple winners. Corto Star did it because he was one of the all-time greats. Best Mate did it because he was one of the all-time greats. But you look at the record of horses coming back, trying to retain their crown, and unless you're cut from the very, very best cloth, you don't do it. So if he does it here, official rating of 180, if he does it, then he will deserve to be spoken of in the same sort of tones as those sort of horses. But at 7-4, not for me, given the record of horses seeking to retain.
Okay, that's fair enough. Sauvignacco Conti as well, we haven't really touched too much on him. He was travelling very well in the Gold Cup last year before he fell, and his form this year is pretty solid as well, so I could see him being involved. It'd be interesting if Sauvignacco Conti had stayed on his feet last year, just where he would have finished. It's only obviously guessing game this point, but if he gets around in one piece, I think he'd be there or thereabouts.
I'd agree with that entirely. I've just got a few nagging doubts about that horse, just in so much as Paul Nicholls was always convinced this wasn't a Cheltenham horse before running in the Gold Cup last year, and Ruby Walsh wasn't particularly effusive about him after the race, as if he would have won. To the naked eye, it looked like he was definitely going to be involved. But it didn't feel to me after the race as though Ruby Walsh felt he was going to win that race. Perhaps that's in hindsight and seeing Bobsworth's finishing effort. But I don't know, at the kind of price that he is now, I know he outstayed Q Card last time out. And again, he's a horse with a superb profile. Apart from that fall there, he's never been kicked out the frame himself, has he? But as I said, the top two taking such a chunk out of the market, I think there's some value in playing each way. Non-runner, no bet here in the shape of Boston Bob and a more speculative one, Lord Windermere. It's a good race, isn't it? I think we've been spoiled over the last 10 years with the likes of Corto Star, Denman, Imperial Commander, you know, those Long Run himself, those top sort of graders, that when you see a race like this, that 10 years ago this would have been seen as an exceptional renewal, but it probably isn't now because we've seen so many good renewals in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's a good race, isn't it? It's a really good race, but I just fancy eking out a bit of value outside of the top two.
Yeah, I get the feeling with that this year as well. I mean, in recent years, the Gold Cup is a race you talk about in the build-up for weeks on end for the last 4 or 5 years, definitely. And this year, obviously, with good renewals of other races, other championship races, it's been... on the back burner a little bit this year for me.
It has. I think when last instalment won the Hennessy in Ireland, and he came to the fore as if he could be the Irish challenger, but I think that optimism has subsided since the, you know, what happened with the Philip Fenton case and what have you, and it just seemed to have moved attention from the race, because it's not going to be, it doesn't look like, an Irish versus English class. I know he could still run, but I don't know, it just casts a bit of a cloud over the race, the reception that horse would get if he run, you know. And I think that's helped to put the race on a bit of a back burner. That's the truth. There's just a little bit of a cloud over the race at the moment, but whatever happens, it's always a spectacular race, isn't it? And you know, it's a real galloper's race over that new course. You know, it's not as sharp as the Tuesday and Wednesday track, and you've got to be a dour stayer to win it, and Bobsworth certainly that. Sauvignacco Conti has proven he's that at Kempton, is he that at Cheltenham, and then you've got a load of dark horses behind them, so good race.
Okay. Let's just have a quick summary then, Ben. The four championship races, how you'd play them, and then we'll move on to Sandown on Friday.
Yeah, I'm going for New Kid on the Block in the shape of My Tent or Yours, I think, in the champion hurdle. We're going for the old grizzled greybeard sizing Europe in the champion chase. That would make my week if he was good enough to win that race. On to the Thursday. I think the way that the prices are now have persuaded me that Big Bucks is now the bet in the race, when I might have said differently last week when he was a short price favourite. And on to the Friday, a couple of speculative ones. I'm going to take Boston Bob as the main pick, but I think Lord Windermere will run a bit of a race as well. And T for Three, that I didn't mention, I think this could go to one of the old school grinders this year. Those horses will be gunning around for place money, so I think all those three are worth a look, but I'll take Boston Bob as the fourth selection.
Okay, good stuff. 4 days to go then until the Cheltenham Festival, not very far away, but let's move on to Friday's action. And we've got those races to look at Sandown, and the first one that Ben's picked out there is the 2:30, which is a class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles, with 6 of them in the lineup here, Ben. And who do you want to start with in this one?
Well, let's have a look who to start with. My old favourite here at the top of the weights, Wings of Smoke. I never get this horse right, Mark. He's a horse, a grey horse, that travels supremely well in his races. I remember that race when he beat Ballywatt at Newbury. He was kind of weaving between his fences. He was travelling so well between the last two and put the race to bed pretty readily. But he's become a bit of a disappointment for me latterly. He probably ran his best race since 2 lengths second to Granville Island last time at Haydock off 1-2-3. He's just been edged up again by the handicap at a 1-2-5, so I don't think he's got too much in hand of the assessor, in truth. Greywell Boy is a really consistent performer as well. 8 lengths second to Persian Snow last time at Warwick. The time before that, beating a fairway behind Eastlake. But he's got winning form the last time he came to Sandown, beating Christopher Wren on this card last year off a mark of 118. That shapes to me like the sort of horse that's been primed for a repeat victory here at Greywell Boy on the card. So I think I'd probably make him the selection. Looking a bit further down the card, you've got Bullet Street for Evan Williams there, and Paul Maloney. It's been really well fancied in most of his runs, his last 5 runs. He's gone off 10-11, 8-11, 6s, 9-2, and 2-1, but has yet to win. So he's been really expensive to follow. But in that time, his handicap mark has plummeted from 129 to 114. So clearly, there's people out there that think he is better at what he's done so far. He's one of two Evan Williams horses in the race. But no, I think it's going to go to Nick Williams on this occasion. Greywell Boy would be the selection, and I would take Bullet Street as a big, big danger.
Okay. The 3:05 at Sandown is the Grand Military Gold Cup. It's for military amateur riders, and it's a chase over 3 miles. And Paul Nichols teamed up with Lance Bombardier, Jody Soul last year to win it with Merrion Square. Lance Bombardier, Jody Soul has got a good record in the race as well, Ben. Won it back in 2011 as well on Blue Team, and he's on Polisky in this year's renewal for Paul Nichols.
Yeah, you stole that stat off me there, Mark. I was going to use that to kickstart my my preview here. Polisky's a horse that, since that run at Ascot where he came second, he looked like the winner. You'd probably call him a little bit disappointing, you know. He perhaps doesn't find as much as what you'd expect sometimes in these races. He was first-time blinkers behind Top Dancer at Newbury at the Hennessy meeting, when he did subside pretty readily. But he ran last time in a jumper's bumper at Kempton when he was second to Dawn Commander. So he looks in good nick. He's only £4 off the ceiling for this race. It's 0-130. He's rated 126. You pointed out that Jody Soul is a decent pilot, so he's going to have a big chance, as is Bradley there at the top, that we're more used to seeing run at Cheltenham. I think 7-8 of his last 12 runs have been at Cheltenham, and he has scored there before as well. So he's a decent horse. He finds himself in 0-130 company for the first time for a good while. He's only just had his mark drop from 132, so I can see him running a decent race. Jack Benny was a winner last time out as well, so that should go well. And interestingly, was ridden by Jody Soul last time when beating Mr. Chancer at Fakenham. So the fact that Jody Soul has jumped off Jack Benny to ride Polisky could be a tip in itself. And a horse that's always been held in decent esteem is Solix there, the bottom of the card. Again, a horse that was a 150 hurdler. It probably hasn't done quite the same over jumps so far, but he is dangerously well rated in the context of this race if he finds his form over jumps. He was 4th of 15 behind the Rainbow Hunter, beaten 12.5 lengths last time. He'd run behind Night Alliance the time before, and 14.5 lengths behind Tattenham. the time before that. I think he could be an interesting one here, Solix at the bottom. Given he's got all the class from his hurdles ratings, he's got Captain Harry Wallace doing the steering. He's at the top of the ratings for the race on 129, even on his chase rating. I'm going to take him just to beat Polisky, I think. Solix over Polisky in the race here for the Grand Military Gold Cup.
OK, and Captain Harry Wallace, another previous winner of this race. He won it on Masked Man in 2012. So,
wouldn't it? That's a good stat, actually. Because that does make a difference, doesn't it? I'm looking at some of these names and looking rather blankly in truth, Mark. So it's helpful that you've unearthed that stat, I think.
Mm-hmm. So bit of a chance with Solix then in the 305. And the 340 at Sandown is the last race we're going to look at. And this is a handicap hurdle, a Class 3 handicap hurdle of 2¾ miles. And where should we start in this one, Ben? Westaway comes here with a penalty to Defy after winning last time. Is he a good point to start with?
Yeah, he's a decent point to start with, considering he was a comprehensive victor last time over Pilgreen at Newbury, 13 lengths. But Wallop, the handicapper's had his say there, Mark, up to 125. So a £12 impost for that victory. But he did win so convincingly that he looked like he could carry another £12 pretty readily. I think you're saying the same about Waldorf Salad as well. He's won off marks of 100 and 107 and now finds himself off 125. So both of these horses that are putting together nice little wins find themselves pretty harshly dealt with by the handicapper. Venetia Williams' horses have been in great nick for a while, haven't they? And in the last week, she struck three times again. Last Saturday, she had Summary Justice and Shangani, and Bobble Baru won at Exeter on Tuesday. So they're in really good form. And the other last-time-out winner in the field is this Spencer Lee, who again was a wide-margin winner, beat Big Casino by 11 lengths at Ludlow, and another one that's been hammered, another £11 on top of him. So the thing about this race is you've got horses that have been walloped by the handicapper for nice little victories last time out. Westaway and Spencer Lee are in fact carrying penalties in this race, so they're pretty well in accordance with their new marks. Another interesting one, or the final interesting one for me, would be Valid Reason, who was a horse that's been fancied a number of times. I always thought it was intriguing that Barry Geraghty got the leg up on this one in November a couple of times last year for Dean Ivory, which is a very interesting booking, an unusual booking, you might say. That's one of the horses that perhaps could jump out of the ground. But of all the progressive horses, the last time out winners, Spencer Lee, Westaway and Waldorf Salad, I'll probably go with Westaway. Yeah, our starting point there. That Newbury victory looks good in the context of this race. I hammered him last time, and let's see how he gets on today. Probably go with Westaway.
OK, Westaway then. In the 340, as always then, Ben, let's just have a quick summary of your three selections for Friday's racing.
Yeah, agonised over this first race, the 230, before making Grey Well Boy the selection over the oft well-backed Bullet Street, who could certainly be a danger. I do like this Grand Military Gold Cup as a betting medium, and Solix, who hasn't yet transferred his chase form, sorry, his hurdles form to chases, he's off a nice little mark in the context of this race as a 0-130, being a 150 hurdler. I'm going to make him my selection there, Solix, for former winner Captain Harry Wallace. And probably the hardest of the three races that we've looked at here is this 340 with any number of improving types. And I'm going to go with Westaway for David Arbuthnot and Tom Cannon.
OK, good stuff. Should be a good Friday to look forward to. Thank you very much, Ben. Enjoy on Friday.
Pleasure. Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ben Bramley on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Gary Capewell, John Budden and Gareth Toppin will be your team in the studio. We have this meeting from Sandown. There's also jumping from Ayr and Leicester, and then two evening meetings on the all-weather surfaces at Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So plenty to look forward to. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.